My guest at this time is former CIA Director James Woolsey. He joins me now to discuss the ongoing and very public Washington debate over our intelligence agencies, Russia's involvement in the 2016 campaign, and what a good cybersecurity blueprint and policy would look like. And Ambassador Woolsey, thanks very much for being with us, sir.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Every once in a while, depending on the stories and the headlines, we see these flare-ups where a debate over conclusions reached by the intelligence community become debated quite heatedly in public. Last decade, the Democrats disputed the reports on weapons in Iraq, and the Republicans defended the agencies to the hilt. Now Donald Trump and some Republicans are questioning what evidence the agencies have on Russia influencing the campaign, and Democrats are the ones appalled that the professionals are being doubted. So is this a worrisome moment to you for maintaining trust in our intelligence professionals? Is it politics as usual, or is it healthy in some way?
Well, it's a bit of all. People are going to argue about intelligence estimates and do so sort of with one hand tied behind their back, so to speak, because you can't talk about sources and methods. And that's just going to take place in a democratic society that runs intelligence collection like we do and the Brits. You just have to do the best you can with the circumstances. I think this 25-page report that came out 3 days ago is really quite professionally done, and it makes very clear two things. One is that the Russians do this all the time, not so much against us, but all in a lot of other countries. They call it, they don't put this in the report, but they call it disinformatia, known to you and me as lying. And they have thousands of people working on photoshopping pictures and rewriting prefaces to books and all kinds of things. Especially they go after democratic institutions such as the democratic political parties in Eastern Europe now. And they go after any institution that they think supports the ethics of a worldview different than theirs. So they go after the Catholic Church and some Protestant churches, and they go after the Jewish groups. So that side of things is not new. What's new is using cyber, which is hard often to figure out the source of, as a tool in this disinformation campaign.
Is our intelligence becoming more politicized? Those accusations have been out there. A lot of folks during the Obama years, they point to the talking points on Benghazi. There were reports on the rise of ISIS, where it seems like different agencies tamped down what the intelligence professionals were telling them. So based on your experience, is this happening, and is the problem getting worse?
Well, I think the agency leadership in the last few years has inclined more to more and more to public statements, and I don't think that's a good idea. I think the key thing in intelligence is preserving your sources and methods, and you can't do that if you're talking all the time about the different aspects that, even though they might not be directly disclosing a source, can contribute to that. And so I think they're being a bit too talkative. That's an old intelligence professional's view, and if I were a journalist, I might have a different view.
Other than keeping quiet, what's the best way to make sure that things don't get politicized?
I think the prestige and quality of the senior people, and especially the head of the CIA and the head of the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, need to be people with very substantial confidence in the public. And I think they've done a pretty good job here so far. Mike Pompeo to be the head of the CIA, distinguished congressman from Kansas, and everybody I've talked to thinks very highly of him. I've even talked to him a couple of times. And the other one, former governor of you tell me.
Senator Dan Coats.
Senator Coats, right. He has a very good reputation in Washington and has done interesting and difficult things, such as the ambassador to Germany. And I think they're off. The new administration is off on a good foot there. They do need to do something to cause the Russians some pain and difficulty for doing this. And I've got an idea if you hear it.
Absolutely. Fire away.
You turn loose the free market on OPEC, and Russia is not a member of OPEC technically, but it tags along behind. It profits from OPEC's cartel setting of price of oil. And so what you really need to do is to require that automobiles, as they are constructed, get spent on them the extra less than $100 it takes to make them easily able to drive on not only gasoline and, in some cases, ethanol, but methanol with an M, so-called wood alcohol, can be made from waste, from all kinds of things. And once you can pull into a filling station and choose between gasoline, a petroleum product, methanol, a product of a waste plant down the road, and maybe electricity if you have an electric car and plug in for 10, 15 minutes or something, but at least the added methanol, you will make our Chinese and Israeli friends who are working hard on this technology very happy, and you will make our Russian and Iranian acquaintances, I think, very sad, because Russians do not like competition, and they don't produce anything except oil and gas and weapons. I guarantee you none of the listeners here went to the mall for the before the holidays and came back with a shopping bag full of things that said made in Russia. There wouldn't be anything.
We're talking with former CIA Director James Woolsey. And, sir, you mentioned that you think with some of the top intelligence appointments, the Trump transition is off to a pretty good start on this front. You made a little bit of news last week by mentioning that you're no longer part of the Trump transition, saying you didn't feel comfortable being called an advisor when you weren't being consulted all that much. So talk a little bit more about why you stepped away and the sense you have about Trump's grasp of the importance of the intelligence world.
Well, I think he's learning at a pretty rapid pace, and I think that's good. Is the chief of staff there, essentially, the who's going to be the national security advisor, Mike Flynn, hadn't asked me to do anything in a month and a half or so, and I wasn't having any role. And so I just thought that it was not right to continue to carry myself on the chyrons and television and so forth when I show up as an advisor to the Trump transition when I really wasn't. So I just took that off. That's all there was to it. I would still respond to Donald Trump if he got in touch and wanted me to write something up or confer on something. I'm delighted to do so.
Trump, of course, has been somewhat critical of the intelligence community, wanting to know what evidence is out there. He finally got briefed on Friday. Around that time, of course, NBC had reports on what was in that report, and he was wondering how NBC got it before he did. What's your take on how Trump has publicly discussed this issue and the intelligence community?
Well, he's done it a bit more than other incoming presidents, but I don't think any of this is really a serious fight between him and the intelligence community. I think it's an opening round of sparring a little bit, but I think they'll get it sorted out. The stakes are just too high. What the American president sees as a result of intelligence collection and what judgments he makes after consulting with his fellow senior officials in the government are really absolutely the heart of our foreign policy. And I think we'll see both the top-level people at the CIA and the top-level people coming in to positions like Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, and so on, along with intelligence professionals pull together and everybody learn what they haven't worked on before and need to learn and get going.
A couple minutes left with our guest, former CIA Director James Woolsey. And, sir, there's been some conflicting reports about whether Trump is interested in reforming the structure of our intelligence community. I know there are some professionals who weren't thrilled with the creation of the Director of National Intelligence. They think there might be a few too many cooks in the kitchen now, and there needs to be one person kind of at the top. But what's your sense of this? Does it need to be reformed either in a small or large way? And if so, how?
I'm skeptical that we've got the right solution. I was director of Central Intelligence back when that job was essentially both the chief executive officer of the CIA and sort of the chairman of the board of the rest of the sub-16 members of the community. And I did that with an added 19 people. Today, there are about 2,000 people that are used in that oversight and coordination and so forth. And I think we've gotten bogged down with numbers doing things other than reading Persian publications and understanding Chinese messages and so forth. We need to get people focused not on the bureaucracy and going to meetings, but getting the real intelligence job done.
Last topic, and back to the cybersecurity threat posed by Russia, China, and others, most likely. You and I talked shortly after the hacking of the Office of Personnel Management and the compromising of millions and millions of Americans. How badly are we behind on this from what you can tell, and what would an effective cybersecurity plan look like?
Well, we are like a very good and highly talented hockey team that has for some reason decided to use all of its players as goalies. And so everybody's clustered around the goal trying to keep any shot from getting through. And we've kind of given up on offense. And we're just trying to make sure nobody scores even one point against us. And you do have to do that in cyber. You got to keep people from scoring against you at all. But you can't just hunker down. We need to make the sort of thing which the Russians did this last time around, even if they didn't get into any of the devices that are used in vote counting and so forth. We've got to make what they do very, very unpleasant for them. They have to say, we can't do this anymore. The Americans are going to do X. And I still think X is getting a handle on oil price, driving it down, and that you can't think of anything that would get the Russians' attention more than that.
Well, we'll certainly see what policies are pursued by the incoming administration. Director Woolsey, sir, always an honor to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Former CIA Director James Woolsey, I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.